Yeah.
And they narrowed these powers down out of, I believe I saw it in another interview. It said there were about 60 different ideas for new powers they had for this remake,
Wow.
which really makes me
Sixty.
wonder, what were the 58
I
ones they didn't go with?
know. Oh, I gotta know.
Well, hi everyone. Welcome back to Kirby Conversations. I'm Sean Douglas, and I am here as usual with Bridget. Hi, Bridget.
Hello, everyone.
And Kai, Captain Dangerous Parker.
Hello.
For this episode, I thought we could talk about the newest powers in the Kirby series. So, for the last few episodes, we've been talking about past Kirby games, some classic ones, some kind of like mid-range ones chronologically, but we haven't really talked about any of the most recent Kirby games yet. So I thought we could talk about the powers because I think looking at these new powers that the games have gotten more recently do give us a bit of a clue as to what might be coming in the future if we look at the logic behind why they chose certain things. And there's just a lot of interesting things to break down about these new powers. So I thought they deserved an episode all on their own. How does that sound?
Sounds excellent.
Sounds fantastic. I'm ready.
Now, when I think about the newest powers in the Kirby universe, I'm thinking of Sand, Mecha, Jelly from Kirby's Dream Buffet, and then we could also think of Ranger and Drill in Kirby and the Forgotten Land. I think those are roughly the newest powers. And we could kind of think of a lot of the powers in Kirby and the Forgotten Land as being new because they're like the 3D versions of previous powers that existed, and they operate a little differently, and they have the different upgrade levels. So we can certainly talk about those too if you want to. But the ones I was thinking about were the ones that are really just completely brand new across the last three Kirby games.
I think Forgotten Land is definitely going to be an interesting one because of how drastically it changes the powers for a 3D environment. Return to Dreamland is also actually very distinct because every kind of previous modern title has added new powers, but this is the first time that HAL Laboratory adds powers to a game that they've already created. So these powers are not in the original, and so they have to account for level design and such for a game that's already established.
Yeah, this was their first time adding new powers to a remake, and they didn't really change the levels themselves. So they had to make sure these powers still had the same kind of functionality that the other powers had, and also didn't throw off the balance of the game.
Yeah, and I think they did a good job. I think in terms of like the two abilities that they added, the sand and the mecha, they sort of draw from existing powers, but with their own unique spin on it. Like you get sand in this desert area in Return to Dreamland Deluxe, and that's also the area where you get whip, which you can also use to grab items that are out of reach. And Sand also has an ability to do that if you charge its attack. It, like an arm kind of made out of sand comes out and can grab items too. So I think they thoughtfully considered like the ways that you could still use these new powers to solve present problems, not problems, but like puzzles that were in the game.
Like puzzles and enemies and such.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Problems. Yeah, that's what we're gonna call like her instead of like Kirby, like instead of it being like enemies or puzzles, these are Kirby's problems. Bridget, I love that. I am totally calling them problems from now
I mean, essentially they are, right?
Yeah, they are problems, so it's true.
And we gotta solve them.
Yeah, we
We gotta beat them up.
just like everyday life.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think that is cool that like you do get Whip and Sand at first in the same level, and the powers feel so distinct and they're so different, and yet you can use both of them to solve some similar problems if you want to.
Yeah.
There's even a room where you can tell it was originally designed to be like, let's show you how Whip works. And you can go in there with Sand and just be like, I'm not going to use Whip. I'll just use this one.
Yeah.
not to deter from Kirby, but this does kind of apply. In Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, it's kind of a similar thing where they're teaching you how to use, you know, a new thing that you've learned. And then everyone in, like, the puzzle thing just steamrolls it with, like, the basic other stuff that they've learned and just completely, like, nixes how, like, the puzzle was originally meant to be solved. And I feel like that's a little bit Kirby is, like, we're teaching you how to do this new thing. And you're like, nah, I'm going to do it this way. Like,
I think that is an interesting direction to consider. I mean, in a game like Zelda, it's so much bigger with so many more options. But, right. It's something that could be interesting too, just like the ways that maybe powers can be adapted for multi-scenarios and in puzzles.
Yeah, because I think it would be kind of neat, and you know, either future Kirby games, if they did kind of take that approach where it's like you learn these different abilities and like, yes, you could, the newest ability that you learned, and that's what's meant to be used on either this particular level or puzzle. But you could also use the abilities that you maybe learned previously to get through the puzzle in your own way. And I think that's really unique and very chaotic, Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
But I think I heavily emphasize chaotic.
Yeah, Kirby has a lot of options, so
yeah, and I think
it's a lot to think about.
I think it would be really cool to kind of see something like that with Kirby as well, to kind of let the player decide how they want to tackle a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so often in Kirby games, even when the puzzles themselves are very clever, there's usually a specific solution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even when you go through like the puzzle rooms for the individual abilities, they come up with interesting ways to really show you the full functionality of that ability by putting things like, oh, we're going to put this switch just out of reach. But then you realize, oh, the mecha has a mortar that shoots out at a perfect arc that can fit right into that hole or something like that.
Yes.
Like, they come up with things that really make you like know these powers really well. But there's not a lot where you can approach the same puzzle from a bunch of different directions. But right. Now that they have abilities like Sand that can destroy metal blocks with the big fist, they can latch on to faraway items, you can use the sand to get over fiery blocks, like it can do all these different things that the other powers could also sometimes do.
Yeah.
You're now introducing more options, right, for how you want to approach a puzzle.
Exactly.
Or a problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kirby problems.
Yeah. I feel like actually on that note, I feel like one of the ways that like for like when Kirby Superstar first introduced the movesets and then the other games with the movesets continued and added to them, I feel like one of the big things that was interesting was the way that people approach the same enemies totally different with different abilities. And that's actually one of the reasons that I got so into playing like arena modes and arena running back in the day on the original Superstar was like if you fought certain bosses like with plasma, it would be different than fighting it with ninja. It would be different than fighting it with beam. And you would have different strategies or different ways of killing them faster or taking advantage of certain moves like command grabs do like a lot of damage. And things like that, you can do like play it in any kind of way you want. I think that's sort of a similar thinking, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever played like Monster Hunter.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
Monster
great.
Hunter fan here. Yes.
Yeah, it's like you fight the same monsters, right? Like you might fight the Rathalos like several times, but if you fight a Rathalos with like a gun weapon, a great sword, a lance, a gun lance, like it's always a different experience, and it makes it so fun. And you strategize with like the different weapons, how you want to tackle like the same exact boss fight,
exactly,
or whatever, and it gives it depth. And I think that's like another way of looking at the powers too, besides like puzzling, is like how much options they can give you for your play. And I know there was some complaints too about Forgotten Land not having the movesets, but it's sort of a different game where it's in 3D, so the developers have to approach it differently, and maybe it'll get there someday.
Right.
But I think that thinking is still there, and I like that. I think Kirby games can also, you know, have an element of that, at least with the variety of moves that you have in a lot of the games.
Yeah, I think speedrunning really showcases that, where you start to see certain utility that some abilities bring that you didn't realize, or you start to realize that maybe like a power that seemed weaker, if there's like a certain kind of situation you can get into with it, maybe it actually has a, you know, has potential to do something you didn't realize it could do.
Yeah. And I think that's, that kind of option is pretty fun. I think that's a way they've been able to give Kirby games, which tend to be on the easier side, like, you know, this level of replayability or exploration. That's always been pretty fun for me.
Yeah. So taking a look at these abilities now, I'm quite fond of the sand ability, actually. I feel like maybe when it was first announced alongside Mecha, Mecha is the flashier one, which is also really fun. And, and we'll talk about that one too, of course. But like, I went back and I was playing Return to Dreamland again, and sand is really fun. I like all the different things that it can do. I like building the sand castle. I like being able to grab enemies and throw them. I like Kirby's little sand kicking combo he can do, where he kicks in front of himself and then kicks behind.
It's honestly, it's so cute. Like, it's so hard. Like, I know, I think on one of, I think it was either one of our, like, our first podcast or second one where we were talking, we were like, you know, like, they're trying to sell, like, yeah, Kirby's tough. And I'm just like, listen, he can, he could, like, do the most, like, bad A thing, and I'd still be like, like everything he does is cute, even when he's like trying to be like, you know, the tough pink, you know, pink ball and whatever. But yeah, the little sand kicking thing, I was like, oh, look at him, look at him go, he's so cute.
It's extra cute when he grabs them with the sand hand and is just like pummeling them. You know,
I was like, oh, look at you, you adorable adorable pink murder machine, you're so cute.
And then he builds a sandcastle.
Yes.
I did not realize that the ability to control sand has a name. It's called Samokinesis.
Oh, that's interesting. Awesome. It sounds so fancy.
I
didn't know that.
I was also looking at the concept art for the sand hat, which is one of those familiar elemental crowns that he usually has.
Yes.
But this one's really cool, how the sand cascades upward and it moves and it's in constant motion while he's wearing it. And I was looking at the concept art for some of the other designs, which I shared with you both. I'll take another look at them too here on my screen.
I'm looking at them right now.
Me too.
I do love this because, like, looking at the different concepts, I do love how he looks like Super Saiyan.
He does kind of, yeah. I thought he looked kind of like Supersonic.
I joke too that Supersonic is like, oh, he's, you know, going Super Saiyan. Like, it's hard to break from that, you know, Dragon Ball, you know, trope of any time like a character goes like gold hair that it's like Super Saiyan. Which, rest in peace.
It does look like that.
Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama.
R.I.P. Yeah.
R.I.P. He was a king and a legend.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I'm absolutely cracking up at some of these designs. Particularly the one that looks like a straw like hat. Like he's like a farmer.
I like that one. Yeah.
Yes. Like
I thought the hair actually, the first one that I think they went with actually kind of reminded me of, like, I think the character's called like Dio from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yes, Dio. It is me, Dio. Like the meme. Yeah, 100%. I absolutely see that.
I don't know. It looks like it kind of, right? He has kind of like a crown and then the blonde hair. But I don't know if that was intentional or not.
No,
one is like a fez.
Wait, which one?
One is like a fez.
Oh yeah, I see it.
And some of them just look like he has like flowing blonde hair.
He's got gorgeous long, like, I don't know if you guys have watched or, you know, watched Adventure Time, but it's like when Finn takes his hat off and it's this long, golden, beautiful mane of hair. That's exactly what a couple of the concept art looks like.
So I like all these different designs. And yet I think that it's interesting that they decide to go with the most classic one. And I'm glad they did. As much as I do find these other designs really entertaining, I like that decision to keep sticking with the same theme they've had for the different elemental crowns that goes all the way back to Superstar. It's like they, for a while, they thought, like, do we want to change this? And then they said, like, no, we're going to stick with tradition. We're going to connect this one to a bunch of other powers that came before it that all fit part of the same family of powers. Right. And I think that's really cool the way they're following that tradition like that.
Also, want to say a shout out to two of these designs that I absolutely love. One, I call it Florida Vacation Kirby, where it looks like he has a visor on, and it's like the swirling, and I'm like, he is here in Miami, like, on vacation. Also, the one that it looks like, at least from the art, it looks like he has, like, a sand bucket on his head. Like,
oh, I was gonna say that one I love, too.
Like, I personally... Well,
that's what I was wondering. Is it like a fez? But you're right. It probably is more like a sand bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that one.
At first, I thought that's what it was, and then I looked a little closer, and I was like, is that supposed to be, like, a little bucket handle?
I think it's a bucket, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that is what that is.
Yeah, because I was like, at first I was like, okay, I know what you're talking about, but I was like, I'm like, am I dumb? I was like, I thought it was a bucket on his head, and you're like, look,
no, yeah, it's a small image on my screen.
Yeah. it's so funny, because, like, I'm looking at these, and it's like, now I kind of want to, like, do my own, like, I want to do sand bucket Kirby and, like, do a photo of that. Because it's cute. Like, it'd be so easy to do. Like, I could either sculpt or 3D print a bucket and paint it just like that. But then have, like, a bunch of, like, little clay or, like, cotton, whatever, painted. So it looks like sand poofs. I have to do this. All right. Making a note. Yeah.
this is the mind of Captain Dangerous at work.
Anytime I see concept art of anything like this, Kurt is like, I have to make this. I have to do it.
I'm all for it.
It is really cute. But yeah, they decided to go with the traditional design, which I thought was really neat. And it feels like with every 2D Kirby game, there's usually some combination. We see it in Return to Dreamland Deluxe. There's some combination of either like a new elemental power or something more inspired by nature.
Yes.
Combined with more of a themed weapon-based power. It seems like they consistently draw from a few different categories and will choose something from both of those categories. And it's a pretty loose rule, right? Not all of them have like a straight-up elemental crown power where like Star Allies had spider, right? Where it's something from nature. And it's not like a weapon-based power. But it's not quite, you know, maybe exactly the same as an elemental power. But it was still something that wasn't, you know, a themed weapon-based power. Yeah, and then it had staff, which is more the kind of Journey to the West-inspired extendable staff power, which was cool if you think about those cultural implications. But very different sort of concepts from which you could make an ability. And Planet Robobot had poison, which is kind of keeping in that elemental crown category again, but doing something that maybe feels a little less organic. You know, it's kind of like nature, but like nature being maybe corrupted a little or something with a bit of a scientific effect on it.
That fits Dark that Kirby. Game well, yeah.
And then they also had Doctor, which is more of like one of those like kind of themed assorted weapons based powers. And I'm not the biggest fan of the Doctor ability. I don't dislike it. It's fun. Like I love it.
I love Doctor. I beat the True Arena with Doctor in that game. I think it's a great ability. It's got.
I think my thing with it was they didn't quite commit to him being a medical doctor or a scientist.
So that's so true. Funny thing.
Like when you go to like your general practitioner, he doesn't like prescribe you medicine and then say, "Now let me go in back and mix it up for you right now." Like
he's an old timey doctor, you know, yeah. Making you some tonic.
I think maybe it's just what they called it. Like if they had called it like science power or something, maybe like that would have just like connected the theme better for me. But like the actual like use of the power in the game is fun.
Yeah, I think it works better, I guess, in the Kirby Clash games where you're like a real old timey fantasy doctor concocting like potions and stuff. And that works really well with the theme of that game.
Listen, plague Dr. Kirby win.
Ooh, I'm ready for it.
No, so it's really funny because like I know Dr. Kirby, I always I feel so validated, Sean, in you saying this because oftentimes like I called him like Mad Scientist Kirby, but everyone's like, no, it's Dr. Kirby. And I'm like, is he though? Like, come on. he's got a little like scientist vibes because he kind of reminds me of is it Professor Egad in Luigi's Mansion? Like he has that kind of like vibe where it's like he kind of has a little bit of a mad scientist thing, but he also still kind of looks like a doctor. And I'm like, he could kind of go both ways. But yeah, every time I'd be like, oh yeah, Mad Scientist Kirby, people would be like, no, it's Dr. Kirby. And I'm like, it's both.
I'm okay.
Yeah,
with
it
mad
is a little
scientist.
Bit more of that kind of mad scientist, like potions. Yeah. Like, it's like the doctor you'd get in like a stock photo who's holding like a beaker with like red liquid inside or something.
Yes, it's like a beaker and
Well, you can, yeah. And when you played Dr. Mad Scientist Kirby.
Mad Scientist Kirby.
Yeah, like my favorite thing to do is to do like the mixing of the potions and getting a cool elemental attack, but then hitting the guard to store them and then using them like exactly when you needed them, like based on boss placement or whatever. And it's cool.
That's super cool. I love that.
So going back to past games too, like we noticed this kind of combination of being like, okay, we'll throw out something from nature or maybe a new elemental crown, and then we'll have some kind of like prop based character type ability as well. And that's what we get again in Return to Dreamland Deluxe, right? We get something from nature, and then we get a kind of themed character type, which is the mecha, which feels, again, I know we talked a lot about mechs in the last episode, but this seems very Gundam inspired.
Yeah,
it definitely is from the design, yeah. Mm-hmm. The helmet is very much, and the hands too, it's very Gundam. Esque. Mm-hmm. Not even subtly.
Just, oh yeah, they
it's
knew
Gundam Kirby.
Another power that's very fun for just how much I keep using the word functionality on this podcast, but that's really what it is, right? Like all the different things this power can do.
It's
a very
functions.
Long move set. It has a beam you can charge and also store. It has this combo attack you can do where moves link with other moves. It has a counter move if you get hit while you're blocking. Just a lot of really interesting creativity that went into making this power.
Yeah, they had fun with mech. Like the amount of moves, it's a very fun. It's a power they made to have fun playing with. Like if you want to play like your razzle dazzle dancing on the screen and you want to string like attacks together, it's very fun. I really loved like the dash and then going into the full-on cannons as well, like lasers, big laser that you get when you dash and then attack again. That's awesome. I like both powers, honestly. It's I thought I liked mech more, but and I wouldn't like sand that much, but I played with sand more and I'm like, sand is so good too. Like, I think they're both like pretty equally good. Sand just has like that guard that keeps you totally safe if you want to use that for, you know, if you're having trouble with arenas. But then it like it does something that to me is very powerful in a Kirby game, which is like it allows you to grab stars, which do a lot of damage, but you can grab them at a distance. So you don't even have to be that close to them to grab them, which I think is like really good.
Yeah, it's super, super cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like throw.
Oh, yeah. Regard. It's like throw in any like ability that has like a command grab, but like imagine that, but like you can do it from, you know, several, you know, spaces away from the star too. It's like, wow, yeah. This is really good.
Yeah, throw is in the ability throw, yeah, which sometimes shows up in other games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they narrowed these powers down out of, I believe I saw it in another interview. It said there were about 60 different ideas for new powers they had for this remake.
Wow.
Which really makes me wonder, what were the 58 ones?
I know. I gotta know. Oh, man. It reminds me of like they had, there's this art of like powers that didn't make it into the original Superstar, and some of them are so interesting. And maybe became other abilities. Like one was Ribbon, and one was gonna be where he can summon like monsters or demons or something.
Oh my goodness! Like Wizard Kirby, like
he's I know.
Like, I have the power.
Necromancy Kirby.
Yeah, Necromancy Kirby.
Oh man, I really want to know what those are. I hope they like put out a similar thing where it's like, here's the ones we didn't use.
And then looking back, so this is an interview from Nintendo Dream Magazine that was translated by Gigi, who translates a lot of stuff for the English-speaking Kirby space. So thank you, Gigi, for doing this.
Yes, thank you.
But Watanabe, who is director for Return to Dreamland Deluxe, says that, in fact, we came up with about 60 different ideas before choosing these two. These two is in the new abilities. And we chose which of them we liked best. And so, wow. And even the interviewer says there were 60 different ideas? Question mark.
Just like we just did. There's 60. Yeah. Wow.
Man, I gotta know what those are.
So, I know. I was like,
it shows how fertile though they are with like ideas for new things. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that would be. That's probably ideas they're gonna maybe hold for new games too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if we look at the patterns that we've seen now from the past games, like if they're, you know, I'm guessing that the next Kirby game will probably be 3D, or the next new one, just given how successful Kirby and the Forgotten Land was. But for the next 2D Kirby game, we can probably predict a new elemental ability or something inspired by an animal. Just based on the way other games have gone, as well as a new ability that's themed around some kind of recognizable like character type that has a selection of props or a selection of weapons that they use.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something to keep in mind. It'll be interesting. It's amazing that they still have that, you know. If people ever say how run out of ideas, it's like, nope, they got plenty of ideas and we haven't even seen them all yet, so.
Exactly.
I'm curious too, with Kirby and the Forgotten Land, and possibly a new 3D game, something that people have been wanting is a return of maybe more movesets for the abilities, and I was wondering, like, they had I don't know if you played Kirby Battle Royale for the 3DS, because that one was maybe came out a little later, and not everyone got it because it wasn't like a traditional game, but the powers in that game do actually have sort of more moves to them, and it's, you know, HAL tends to come back to ideas quite a bit, from previous works, and even canceled like games, such as plenty of stuff has come from like the GameCube game that got canceled. And I was wondering if something like maybe the work that was done on that game might be considered in a future 3D game, as far as like movesets for powers was concerned.
Yeah, they had those three Kirby GameCube games, one of which I think they've said was like almost finished before it didn't come out.
Yeah.
And the hand-drawn art style that Return to Dreamland Deluxe has seems like it maybe came from one of those GameCube games a little bit.
It does look kind of like it. Yeah, it's got like the heavy outlines.
Yeah.
And the Ranger hat supposedly looks kind of like the helmet Kirby wears at one point in one of the trailers.
Because
he does have a helmet at one point. And the concept of like four players playing together was something that I think came out of those GameCube games too. So it does seem like they've like held on to certain ideas.
I think the robot boss fight might have also, from Battle Royale, might have also come from the GameCube game, because I think you're supposed to fight like a DDD and a mech in that game, which didn't happen. And then DDD just became a playable character in Return to Dreamland, which was nice. It was cool. But you do get to fight him in a mech in Battle Royale.
Yeah, Battle Royale is one that I have not played, but should at some point.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's hard to recommend, and now that there's like not that the online was particularly great for a 3DS title, but for this one anyway. But now it's probably no one on there now.
So we've talked about 2D Kirby games and what the future might look like for those. Let's talk more specifically about Kirby and the Forgotten Land now, where that showed us what the future might look like for 3D Kirby abilities, specifically with the Ranger power and Drill, which I think are both powers that come out of this idea of like, what could Kirby do that he couldn't do as well on a 2D plane? What can he do now that he has that full 3D range of motion? And having a gun, like, obviously there are plenty of games where characters shoot on 2D that work just fine, right? Like, we know that works. But this idea of being able to, like seek out targets that were hidden in the background, or take cover behind objects and sort of dodge out and shoot something and dodge back behind the object again. Some of that more sort of, you know, 3D shooter stuff you can do, right? Kirby couldn't do that before.
Yeah. With Drill, you can now navigate a 3D surface in a way that you couldn't. And to attack as well, you do a stronger attack if, you know, you encircle an enemy with the ability. And I like that you brought up the counterattack with the dodge, because that's something new to this game as well. And I feel like there's a lot to be said about evolution of powers, but evolution of Kirby's defense is also something that I think is interesting. Because you first get a guard in Superstar, and then later games add sort of like an air dodge, kind of like Smash Brothers. And now this game's got the counter, and I feel like it's become like a part of Kirby's evolution as well, where he also has like these expanded defensive options. And now he has like a counter with them, which is, I found it pretty exciting.
Yeah, I like with the Drill power, how there's that risk reward with, you want to draw a larger circle to do the most damage, but the more ambitious you get with trying to draw the larger circle, like, one, it's just kind of fun to feel like you're drawing sort of on the level.
Yeah.
But there's that risk reward where it's like, if you try to go for the bigger circle, your line might start to disappear if you wait too long, and then you can't catch up with it, and then you don't get anything at all. So there's more to it. I like how they added that. So there is a little more to it than just like draw a circle around the enemy.
Right.
There's some flexibility with how you want to use that.
Yeah. And this game also introduces like the updates to upgrades for the abilities. And this also sort of expands like the moves for each of these powers. The standard attacks too, like the charge beam for Ranger just becomes like this amazing big burst of energy that traps enemies. It is amazing. It's an interesting way to consider like abilities in Kirby games now. It kind of goes with like how hard you want the game to be too. Like you can always choose not to upgrade and then have to tackle some of those challenges, like not getting hit with bosses or whatever, with like abilities that just do have less like flexibility maybe, or less power. It's interesting. I like it.
Yeah, that is one thing that I kind of wish the game had done, where I wish it had made you use the previous levels of the powers after you upgraded them. Which you're for the most part, the abilities do get better as you upgrade them, and there's not always a reason to go back to. Sometimes there are, right? They are different, and sometimes you may choose, you know, a certain like previous level of one. But in some cases, it did feel like the new abilities were just replacing the previous levels. And it would have been interesting to me if there were more reasons where you might sometimes still want to go back to like that original Ranger gun or something. If that could do something that the Space Ranger still couldn't do. Or
right.
Something.
Yeah.
That's true. I agree with that. I think that would have been an extra layer of interesting. I think it is still a nice option for difficulty. I mean, I'm going to probably do a run now where I don't upgrade anything and try to beat the game that way. But I agree. There are like treasure road challenges that if you go back to some of them are not the fully upgraded version of abilities yet, and you got to use you know, different graded versions for different treasure road challenges. But I agree, I think that's a good take. Yeah,
I like that they at least each get their moment in a treasure road challenge.
Yeah, I enjoyed the treasure road challenges, and I like, they kind of remind me of Return to Dreamland's like challenge rooms, but kind of more implemented into the main campaign, where yeah. It's like you're rewarded for them, but they also force you to really use your abilities and understand them and figure them out, which asks more of the player, and you have the option as well to beat your own time, which is kind of a way that they integrated kind of more challenge without excluding anyone. You don't have to beat your own time. You could just get to the end and get your little star. And that's fine too. So I like those challenges actually. I think that's something that I applaud like both Return to Dreamland Deluxe and Forgotten Land for, is like integrating more like content that's specific to abilities to actually like get used to using them and challenging them and using you know, the different moves.
Yeah, because like for me with like Forgotten Land, like I love seeing like, okay, I rescued all the Waddle Dees, I found, you know, these items, I found, like, it's very satisfying like seeing like it complete, like when you go over the level and you're like, ah, oh, yes, I have 100% of this. Like, it's hard for me, unless, like, obviously, like, I know a couple things, like, you know, it's easier to get it with, you know, once you get more abilities or whatever. But it's funny, because it's like, anytime I see, like, it not complete, I feel like, I was like, oh, I can't move forward. I have to 100%.
That's good. Well, that's good if you want to, you know.
Yeah, like, I very much, especially with Kirby games, I always, like, oh, I want to get everything. I want to do all of it.
Yeah, so when we think about the future of Kirby games, then looking at these abilities and sort of extrapolating what we think HAL might be doing next, right? They're looking at abilities that work well in a 3D environment that are things they can't do in a 2D environment. So whatever comes next for whatever comes after Forgotten Land, we're still probably going to be seeing these abilities that involve area effect attacks or a wider range of motion around Kirby, maybe more ranged attacks in different ways, and probably bringing back some of the other familiar abilities and looking at what levels of upgrades they could get. Because there are still a lot of familiar ones that we didn't have back again, which I could definitely see returning down the road.
Yeah, there's no beam, which is a classic one. Mm-hmm. So that one was the most surprising to me.
I... actually same for me as well, because I was like, that's kind of like a staple of like Kirby.
Yeah, it's been around since Adventure.
Yeah, it's been around for a good while.
Yeah, and they specifically said that they made Sword, like Sword was always the overhead slash, and they specifically pointed out that now it's a sideways slash. And so the beam that he would have, which he might have at some point, it's going to not be an overhead beam probably anymore. It's going to be a side-to-side beam or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, I wonder how they handle it in Battle Royale, because there is a beam with a moveset in 3D in that game, but I don't remember the moves per se. But that might be like a game to reference or go back to when considering like where the powers might go in the future for 3D. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know Kumazaki likes ninja a lot. When they
yeah,
asked
me too.
yeah, it's one of my favorites as well. When they asked them for their favorite powers in that same interview that I was looking at, he says ninja right away. Ninja's his favorite.
Good
taste. That would be a fun one to see represented in 3D somehow.
I would love that. Ninja is like one of the powers that I loved the most in Superstar, and I also loved it. I think I beat the True Arena in Triple Deluxe all with just Ninja. I believe it's in there, and I'm pretty sure that's the one I did. So it's a power I really love. I feel like it's underestimated. I think it's got some good range of moves, and it just looks cool. I mean, it's Ninja.
Right.
What's cooler?
I'm a big fan of Poison. And I don't know that we'd necessarily see that one come back again, but that's one of my favorites. And I also like ESP a lot.
ESP is cool.
And I was thinking of like what it would look like in a 3D environment. And are either of you familiar with the game Control?
Yes.
I've heard of it, but I haven't played it.
How you have the kind of psychokinetic power to just grab like just about anything around you, and if there's nothing around to grab, she can just pull out a chunk of like cement from the floor or something.
Oh my god,
the environments are so interactive in that game, and it's an excellent game. It's not like originally from last year, it's from a few years ago, but it was probably my favorite new game that I played last year that I like had not played before outside of the Megalore epilogue. But that game is just fantastic. But I was thinking, like, what a Kirby version of that would look like if they had ESP but made it work a little bit kind of like Throw, or you know, the way the stand hand can grab people or something. Like, I'd love to see Kirby being able to psychokinetically grab enemies or things around him and launch them, because it feels like something that does have a precedent. We've seen him throwing things around with a few different powers before.
Yeah.
And it would be cool to see whether it's done through ESP or in some other way. Something that allows Kirby to grab the enemies and throw them would be fun.
I love that idea. I also love the idea of him somehow grabbing another object and kind of slamming it on some Waddle Dees or something. Mm-hmm. That sounds great. That's a good way of considering that power, yeah.
And then the last new power that I wanted to bring up, which I don't know what this would look like in the context of a non-Fall Guys-esque racing game, but we also got Jelly.
Mmm.
Kirby's Dream Buffet.
I guess you can use it to get under places. Maybe it'd be the kind of power that you use more like for puzzling or something.
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
It could appeal to all the kids that like slime.
Our kids still really right into now.
They need some kind of gelatinous Kirby to appeal to the kids.
Kids love slime.
But they it is interesting to think of what Kirby could do as a gelatin.
That one's a little harder to consider, but maybe.
Well, he could maybe stretch in interesting ways, or like fit through like a grate or something.
Or like cover his, you know, enemies and slime.
Yeah.
These are all good. Ah,
he
it makes me
absorbs
excited.
Them and like encases them in jello. It's like the office
they're just
like
floating.
Jello stapler or something.
They're just floating in a blob of jello. Oh, this is good. This does make me very excited. I feel like Forgotten Land was so exciting, and I think it hit a lot of expectations in terms of like overall quality being very high and excitement being very high for that game. And it did really well, and it makes me excited to see where Powers in 3D will go, because it's just more, you know, it's more dimension there for how to consider.
Yeah, and I think it is fun to look back at the logic that they apply to new Powers and what people have said in interviews, and even looking at some of the concept art and some of their rejected ideas to get more of a sense of how HAL approaches these new Powers and use that to predict what might be coming in future games.
Yeah.
Well, should we turn to our second act now?
Yes.
Yes.
And for the second act today, I thought we could go back to just that general question of what else have we been into lately? What else are we playing or watching? What else has been on our minds?
I actually did not finish watching Gurren Lagann when I first watched it many years ago, so I decided to finish watching it finally for the first time in my life.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about that. So that's actually like my favorite, probably my favorite anime. It's by Trigger, which Good Smile owns Trigger. So it's kind of cool to like work for them and then be like one of my favorite anime studios.
Yeah, it's definitely a show that's just about, you know, being as explosive as possible and stylish as possible.
Oh, yeah,
and,
you know, that's very Trigger fun. Studios.
So I finally finished that after many years, so.
Fantastic. So I have, I've been watching the new live-action Avatar The Last Airbender. And the series is very near and dear to my heart. I've watched the animated version many, many times. watching the live action, I was actually very impressed and pleasantly surprised. But at the same time, I also don't hate everything that's not the original. Like many people do. I very much enjoyed the live action. The acting in the, you know, first few episodes, they were kind of finding their stride. It was a little clunky, but everything looks great. I feel like the characters are solid and they're hitting like the right beats with the live action. So I've been watching that. As for games and stuff, I sadly haven't been able or had time really to play as many games as I would like. But I have like downloaded a lot of like very like cute, cozy kind of like think like Stardew Valley kind of games. Like there's a new one that I just checked out, but I found out it was only on Steam, which is fine. I have Steam. But it's like the name is escaping me, but basically you like run a tavern. And you like get like new recipes and like you meet like new travelers. And so I think it's literally called like Traveler or something. I literally screenshotted it and sent it to my husband. And I was like, this is the kind of game I want to play. I was like, this is the kind of cozy game that I am all about. Oh, I found it. Traveler's Rest. So you are literally like tavern owners and it looks like Stardew Valley, like 100%. Mm. But yeah, I think, I mean, that besides, you know, like kind of building mini sets, kind of planning out new things as finally, I think we call this, as you guys know, because you guys are kind of in the same area I am, false spring. It's like, it's warm. And then we'll randomly, like, for instance, here, thunderstorms, rain for 2 days. And then it's like Monday, snow. Like, okay. but I'm excited for spring and warmer weather so I can start taking more of my miniature sets and other things and being able to do photos outside and making a bunch of building Animal Crossing Lego for 6 hours Ooh. Straight. Another thing I did.
I like the Animal Crossing Legos. I think they look good.
They're so cute. I was not expecting Nintendo to send me all of them. So, like, I opened the box and I was like, well, my weekend is full. So I literally like spread out all the boxes and like, you know, built all of them. And I just finished doing the video content for it. I just have to edit it. But yeah, I was like this. I'm so happy. I was listening to like, I don't know if you guys love like the lo-fi, like Animal Crossing chill, Zelda chill, Kirby chill. Yeah, that's what I put on. And I'm just like, my husband comes out. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sitting there just like humming the theme, just like putting Legos together. He's like, you realize it's like 2 a.m., right? I'm like, what? I'm just like, I've been vibing over here. Like, I'm having a great time.
Time flies when you're building Lego Animal Crossing houses.
I love. Oh, that is, it's so funny because, like, you know, people are like, you know, Lego is, you know, it's like, it's a kid's thing. I was like, no, it's not. They literally have sets for adults that's actually labeled that way. And I don't care even if they weren't labeled for adults, I'm still going to build Lego and have a great time.
The biggest Lego fans I know in real life are adults, so.
Same.
Yeah, my sister-in-law is a big Lego fan who takes on the really ambitious, like, grown-up level projects. And it's really cool to see them. For me, I've been playing Final Fantasy VII Remake, which I'm a big Final Fantasy VII fan and had somehow not played this yet. I had started several years ago, and I think I was just like playing different things at the time and was like, I want to wait until I just have time to like really dedicate to this because I know I'm going to just love it. And I finally have like made time to play this, and it's really good. It's everything I want it to be as a modern recreation and reimagining of these characters. It's really interesting to see the backstories of some of the secondary characters just fleshed out so much more. And I think it's just a really fantastic video game. I've waited to play the remake long enough that Rebirth is out now. So I can go from Remake just right into Rebirth. And I have like tons and tons and tons of Final Fantasy VII content waiting for me, probably for like the rest of the year. So I'm sure that will be just something I'm doing throughout 2024.
Oh, perfect.
Playing all sorts of modern Final Fantasy VII Remake stuff. But I'm really just like, I just enjoy being in that universe. I find the characters themselves really enjoyable. It's maybe my second favorite video game universe after Kirby. I don't know. It's hard to rank things, but it's very high up there for me. And I've noticed that like even kind of a lot of the introductory stuff you're doing, where in a lot of games you fight a lot of the basic enemies at the beginning and you're like, okay, I'm ready for what comes next now. And I know the game got some criticism for its side quests that maybe felt like they were padding some things, where someone would give you an assignment to just be like, oh, go clear out the rats in this area or whatever. But I feel like I'm having fun punching rats. I mean, like, people keep giving me more rats to punch and I'm fine with that. So like, I'm even enjoying just kind of some of these sort of familiar video game, like go around Midgar and find the missing cats or, so-and-so needs the rats cleared out of wherever. And I'm past those parts now. I'm still fairly early on in it, but I'm not finding the side quests getting in the way of it. I feel like everything that's kind of helping to flesh this out and expand the adventure is just making it more fun for me. And when even those basic things like fighting the basic early enemies is fun, I feel like that bodes really well for what the rest of the game is going to be like. I also think it's very funny that for one of the characters, they've made her background that she's an actor and that she has been working as a stagehand and is trying to get her break as an actress. And it makes me think about like these people are part of this activist group that's bombing these reactors.
Avalanche.
And you know, going to these kinds of extreme measures to take down the Shinra Corporation. And it makes me think of the theater people that I know and my friends in that space. I mean, like,
are they exactly like
people? They were in this environment being that. Like turning to that level of kind of extreme activism. And it makes me think too about like, well, where would I fall in this? And it's cool being in the more realized city that they have, because I feel like playing the original Final Fantasy VII, it feels a little bit more just obvious that the Shinra Corporation is bad.
Right.
And now you have like townspeople who are talking about how they like the Shinra Corporation and there's more of that, those like layers of politics to it.
Yes.
Which I find
yes.
really interesting. And then you have Tifo, who's kind of like, you know, I don't like them, but not sure how I feel about us blowing things up. Like, it does make me wonder, like, where would I fit into this kind of political environment? And what would I be willing to do? Especially when you know that the Shinra Corporation is really destroying the planet that they live
yes.
on.
Yes. So it's really funny because you're saying Final Fantasy like 7 is one of your favorite. That is probably my favorite series besides like Zelda and The Witcher. And I'm like dying inside because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many things I want to say but don't want to spoil for you. Because like I have played, I own and have played every Final Fantasy VII spinoff, even the bad ones. I have played them religiously. Like that game was actually what kind of pushed me to want to get into working in the gaming industry as a career. And talking about like, you know, where would you fit in? It's because you know the characters. I feel like you'd be like, honestly, I feel like you'd be like a Red 13 or like a Kate Sith. Like, you're very like, you're very wise, and you kind of give everyone, like, you kind of keep everyone together, and like you have, like, you're grounded, like you're solid in what you know, but you're also ready to like get there and fight. So I very much see you as a Red 13, honestly.
Thank you. I do like Red 13 a lot. When I played through the original game, my team was Cloud and Tifa and Red 13. So thank you. I appreciate that.
But I definitely see you as like that, like keeping like the party together and being like the voice of like, you know, reason and like wisdom.
I'm a member of Avalanche.
Oh.
I'm Barrett.
You said you're Barrett?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I can sort of see that.
1000% I see that. I love it. I am 100%, like, I want to put myself as like, oh yeah. Yeah, I'm Tifa. I'm Aerith. I'm whatever. No. I am absolutely like probably like Vincent Valentine, where like he just shows up out of his coffin when people need him. And he's just like, what do you want? That's me.
Ooh. Vincent's
when this
my
podcast is
character.
Done, you're gonna go back in your coffin.
Exactly. I was like, wake me when you need me. That is me. Vincent's one of mine too. Like I have the original. I'll have to send you pictures of this after this. I have like a shelf of just Final Fantasy VII figures I've collected since I was a kid. I have like the original Vincent Valentine, the original like Cloud on his Hardy Daytona, like all that stuff. But yeah, I am definitely the, like, you wake me up and I'm like, okay, cool, I'll fight, but let me go back to sleep afterwards. Peace.
Well, nice. We will have to, well, I will keep everyone updated on how Final Fantasy VII Remake is going.
Yes, please do.
Hopefully I will get to Rebirth soon. Well, on that note, we're going to wrap up the main episode there. So thank you both for talking about new Kirby powers with me today. I think we covered a lot of good ground. I learned a lot from this conversation, and I thought it was a fun talk. So
same here.
So yeah. We will be back again in another 2 weeks with more Kirby conversations, but goodbye for now.
See ya.
Bye.
Kirby Conversations is a production from me, Sean Douglas, Kai, Captain Dangerous Parker, and Bridget. If you enjoyed this show, please subscribe in your podcast player for a new episode every 2 weeks. For Kai's photography, Bridget's video game content, and regular updates about this show, you can also follow us on social media through the links in the episode description. We especially hope you'll join us on Blue Sky, Threads, and Instagram. Our theme music is the song Winds of Change by Megan Kello in a new arrangement from Duncan Pixel T Smith. And our show art is by DJ at drawing_lemons_z on Instagram. Kirby Conversations also has a Patreon, where patrons can receive bonus content, deleted scenes, and other rewards, including games and merchandise. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back again soon with more Kirby Conversations.
can we have like a Kirby like a multiverse or like a deep like Kirby lore like series where it's like you have obviously speaking in Final Fantasy, like Final Fantasy VII Remake, Final Fantasy Rebirth, like, and then there's the spinoffs of like Crisis Core, Dirge of Cerberus, like, yeah, I want a whole Kirby, like, yeah, oh man, now my brain is like, all right, I'm taking notes.